Well, good morning. I want to welcome you who are joining us online, by television, as well as on our campuses. God bless you for being here today. And I want to welcome you who are here worshiping with us. I want you to take your Bible, take out your whole Bible. I'm going to give you a lot this morning, and I'm praying that we're going to be able to complete this message, but we will find out about that. I know many of you by name, and I can call you by your first name. I know where you live. I've been in your homes, and your interaction with me and the history we have together is a wonderful thing. But there are certain names that are very, very close to my heart, like the name of my wife, the name of my children, the name of my daughter-in-laws, the name of my grandchildren, the name of my parents. But there is one name which is above all names, which is the most precious of all names to me. And you know whose name that is. Why don't you say his name out loud with me? Jesus. Today, I just want to talk to you about the name of Jesus. I want us to look at what the scripture has to say about the name of Jesus. He is mentioned by several different names in scripture, and I want to share just a couple of them with you in introduction. He is known as the second Adam, the advocate, the almighty, the Alpha and Omega, the Amen, the apostle of our profession, the arm of the Lord, the author and finisher of our faith, the author of eternal salvation, beginning of creation of God, beloved Son, blessed and only potentate, branch, bread of life, captain of salvation, chief shepherd, Christ of God, consolation of Israel, cornerstone, counselor, dayspring, deliverer, desire of the nations, door, the elect of God, everlasting Father, faithful witness, first and last, first begotten, forerunner, glory of the Lord, God, blessed, God blessed, good Savior, governor, great high priest, head of the church, heir of all things, Holy Child, Holy One of God, Holy One of Israel, Horn of Salvation, I Am, Image of God, Emmanuel, Jehovah, Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, Judge of Israel, the Just One, King, King of the Ages, King of the Jews, King of Kings, King of Saints, Lawgiver, Lamb, Lamb of God, leader and commander, the life, the light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Lord of all, Lord of glory, Lord of lords, Lord of our righteousness, man of sorrows, mediator, messenger of the covenant, Messiah, mighty God, mighty one, morning star, Nazarene, only begotten son, our Passover, prince of life, prince of kings, prince of peace, prophet, Redeemer, resurrection and life, rock, root of David, rose of Sharon, Savior, seed of woman, shepherd and bishop of our souls, Shiloh, son of the blessed, son of David, son of God, son of the highest, son of righteousness, true light, true vine, truth, witness, word, word of God. Those are just a couple of the names that Jesus is mentioned of in Scripture. But there is no other name, the Bible tells us, is more powerful than the name Jesus. For at his name, things happen. And today I want to give you 10 different things, Lord willing, that happens at the name of Jesus. Are you ready? You need to be taking notes. And by the way, all of the names that I gave you just a while ago have scripture references with them, and you need to go find them and look at them and study them, because if one of those names speaks to your heart this day, you need to know that Jesus is there to meet every one of your needs. Well, there are several things that happen at the name of Jesus. When you mention his name, you need to realize that, number one, there will come global submission. Global submission. Not just submission of our country, not just submission of those who know him, but everyone one day, the Bible says, will submit to Christ. Listen to what Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11 says. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, do you understand the two things that are happening here? Number one, every knee will bow. That is an act of submission. And the scripture tells us that will happen for everyone. And then there's another thing that happens. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The final act here for us to grab hold of, that it is all about timing. And you and I can either choose to profess and confess and submit now to Christ, or we will do it later. If you wait till you pass away and you stand before God, it's too late. It's too late. But the Bible tells us, and this is a wonderful passage for you and for me to understand, that we have read the book from beginning to end, and we know who wins. And it is Jesus, and we who love Christ, we who have submitted to Christ, we win with him. And you need to understand that. Jesus is victor. That's the end. So don't get discouraged when you see the evil one triumph, when you see things fall apart, and when you see things crumble. You need to realize that God is in control, and the final end of the story, the exclamation point that will be put at the end of the last sentence, is that Jesus is Lord. And everyone on this planet who has ever existed will declare once and for all, Jesus is Lord. Now, some of us may think, oh man, that is so narrow-minded. That's not inclusive enough. Hey, I didn't write this. God did. And he's the one that defines it. You and I, we're living in a day and time where we're more concerned about people not offending other people. And we just need to have broad ways. But you know what Jesus said about broad ways? That broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. This is a narrow path, and there is only one way. And you go, Pastor, that is definitely, you need to, that just makes me feel uncomfortable. You need to line up with that, because as a child of God, you need to understand what the scripture says, and that we stand with Christ, and there is no other name, the Bible says, whereby we must be saved, under heaven or under earth. Jesus is Lord. We're a Jesus church. Now, we're connected to a denomination, but our church is not about denominations or non-denomination. We're about Christ. We're about Jesus, because that's our one desire, to proclaim Jesus is Lord. And I pray you never get over that. I pray that somehow or another that you will never get so inundated with the things of God that you get over that. And you and I just need to come to that place afresh and anew today, where we just cry out, Jesus is Lord. Maybe you want to say that today with me. Why don't you say it out loud? Jesus is Lord. Say it again. Jesus is Lord. He is. And we need to be able to say that, not only here, but live like that and speak his name to other people, because his name is above every name. That is the name that God has put above every other name. His name is above every name that you cherish. His name is above every name. Oh, man, I could stay right here and preach all day. But I want to share with you another thing that happens when you mention the name of Jesus. Prayers are answered. Prayers are answered. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14, 13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Jesus also said in John 16, 23, in that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Now stop for a second. Some of you are going, thank you, Pastor, for sharing that, because I'm just going to use the name of Jesus so I can get a Porsche 911 with a whale tail. Or I'm going to use his name so that my mortgage will be paid off, or that I'll be independently wealthy and I can retire early or whatever. Let me just tell you something. When you mention the name of Jesus, what you are doing, you are aligning with his person and his promise. And that will change what you ask for and when you ask for it. This is not just carte blanche, willy-nilly. But you remember what Jesus said, that he only did those things he saw the Father doing. So when you pray, if you want your prayers answered, when you use the name of Jesus, that means you have heard from him. You know exactly what he wants you to pray for. You know exactly where his will is. And if you do not, you need to stay long enough in communion with him to where he gives you that sense on the inside that that's what he wants and this is the time. And then when you use his name, you can speak his name with confidence because he has confirmed his will within your heart, within his word, so that you can know that that prayer will be answered, period, when you mention his name. Now that's very, very important. You see, many of us, we get frustrated when our prayers are not answered, when we ask in the name of Jesus. But the problem is, we are more in tune with our flesh when that happens rather than in tune with the Spirit. God wants us to live Spirit-filled lives. That means he is in total charge of our life, and there's not a thing in our heart and in our life that he is not Lord over, so that we can hear from him and sense him and know what he wants us to pray for. That sense of discernment is critical here. And so that, therefore, your fellowship with him is essential. You know, there are a lot of people, when they pray, just they just go ahead and close. Amen. You've heard me tell stories where I've been asked to pray in public places, and they've asked me not to use the name of Jesus because it may offend. Well, I don't know any other name to pray in. And that is one of the things I've taught our staff, and I pray that you would understand. This is not just a magical signature of closing that we put at the end of our prayers, but when we pray in the name of Jesus, we're asking God to do what we are requesting because we sense in our hearts that's what he is doing and that's where he is going, and that will give him glory. And that's when prayers are answered. You need to understand, at the name of Jesus, prayers are answered. We could stay a whole lot longer on that one concept right there, and that would be a great study for another time. But I just wanted to give you an overview today of what it means when you mention the name of Jesus. There's a third thing I want you to hear, and that is access to the Father is granted. Here's what Jesus said in John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now I need to tell you that there are a lot of people on our planet who are looking to know God, trying to find God, trying to experience God. You know what Jesus said? There's a real narrow door. There is a real narrow path, way to have access to the Father. It's only through Christ. No one gets to the Father. No one has fellowship with the Father. No one knows the Father, can have communion with the Father, be in the Father's presence, and have the Father's ear unless they come through Christ. And some of you are going, Pastor, there you've done it again. You've just made it very, very narrow. You've probably offended a lot of people by saying there are no paths that lead to God except through Christ. Here's the deal. That's what Jesus said. And his word is true, and he is true, the Bible says, and he is the only person that provides us to have a relationship with God the Father. Do you understand that? It's who you know. It really is. And if you don't know Christ, you're out of luck. You're out in the dark. And you need to understand that. And anyone that you talk to that tells you, well, I'm not into Jesus, but I am into God, no, they're not. That's another God that they're involved with, and that's another path they're examining, and it is not the path that leads to God the Father who created this planet and created you, because Jesus said, I'm the only way, I am the only truth, I am the only light, I am the only path that leads to the Father. You understand that? That is very narrow, isn't it? And that's what Jesus says. So when you become a follower of Jesus, your focus goes away from what everybody else is thinking to what Jesus is thinking, what Jesus is saying. And that lines you up with the purposes and plan of God. So therefore, access to the Father is granted. There's another thing I want to share with you, that at the name of Jesus, healing is provided. Healing is provided. Now, let me stop and tell you something. I really believe that God uses medical practitioners, physicians, and pharmacists to accomplish the healing that he wants to do. But let me tell you something also. I believe in miraculous healing. Do you? You need to if you don't. Your mind needs to be open for God to intervene in people's lives at the name of Jesus. His name, again, is above every name. And in his name, there is physical healing provided. Now, let me read to you a couple of scripture verses out of Acts. Listen to what the Christians there in the first century began to pray in Acts 4:30. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And then listen to what Peter said there in Acts chapter 3. Verse 6, but Peter said, I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that man who was crippled rose up and walked, all because healing was in the name of Jesus. Also, I want you to listen to this general epistle, the general letter that James would write to the church there in James chapter 5, verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. You know what that Bible says? You just heard it. This means yes. That's what the Bible says, that if someone's sick, the Bible says, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, oil in the scripture is always symbolic of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Bible says to do. You go, well, doesn't God want us to use our common sense and go to a doctor? That would be a great thing to do. But you know what? It may well be that one of the things that you and I need to grab hold of is for us to hear what God wants to do. And remember, this is for believers. This is a believer who is sick, sensing that God wants them to be healed, asking for the elders of the church to anoint them with oil and pray for them. Now, you need to understand that the power is in the name of Jesus. It's not in the oil. It's not in olive oil. Regardless of where that olive oil has come from or if it's been blessed or not. It happens to all be in the name of Jesus. And also, I remember what I told you, that when we use his name and when we ask for something in his name, that means we are already lining up with his purpose. And there are some things that we ask for that we haven't stopped long enough to find out his purpose. By the way, I know that there is illness, and God sometimes allows illness to happen in our lives. Because here's the deal. You can't get out of this life alive. You know that? And one day when you lay down your eyes in that sleep where you lay down this skin suit, you who know Christ are going to go into the very presence of Jesus, and you will undoubtedly not think twice about leaving this planet because of being in his presence. But right now, all we can think about is the here and now, and all we can think about is our health right now and our happiness right now. But we need to understand that God's got a great plan for us, and regardless of how long you live on this planet, regardless of how long he has for you, you need to understand your life is to be all tied up and all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. But if indeed God is leading you and you're ill and you sense that God wants to do a work in your life, by all means, you need to be calling the elders of the church to anoint you with oil and pray for you. Let me tell you something. I believe in divine healing. I have not only seen it and prayed for people who have been healed, but also have experienced it myself. I love telling the story. I wish I had time to tell you about, again, the story about God healing my wife of a tumor that was in the back of her spine, where God miraculously took that out, where it was in the x-rays before, and when they got ready to do the biopsy, it was gone after she had been prayed for. I've seen God do amazing things. And I pray that you have too. That's not just something out of the normal. That's something that God wants to do for Jesus to receive glory. Now, sometimes God doesn't heal. And it may be that he will use someone's illness for his glory, because sometimes the brokenness of our life opens up for the sweet perfume of the presence of Christ through what we go through. But let me tell you something. I loved the time that I was preaching and teaching in our church, my second pastorate. And I was having, during that season, I guess there was a lot of pollen in the air, and those Texas winds would carry that pollen, and it just destroyed my throat for a season. And in the middle of teaching, I lost my voice. I couldn't speak. I had to drink water left and right, and I couldn't utter another word. And finally, a little lady raised her hand and said, "Pastor, could you just have Bruce pray for you right now, that God would heal your voice, because we need to hear what God has laid on your heart today, and I know that you want to share it. Would you just let him pray for you?" I went, "Yeah, that's all I could say. Yeah, sure." And all of a sudden, he began to pray, and the church began to pray for me. And they said, "In Jesus' name, amen." And I just began to speak and kept going. Didn't even think twice, and went in about 2 minutes. And I stopped for a second. I went, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Do you realize just what happened? You guys prayed that God would heal my voice, and he did. And I have no congestion whatsoever. There is no drainage right now, and I'm speaking as clear as I have ever spoken. Thank you, Jesus." Now, let me tell you something. I've seen that happen, and I pray that you have seen that happen. But when God does it, he does it for a very important purpose, to not only teach, but also point other people to Christ. And you and I need to understand his timing and his purpose. And just because someone doesn't have faith doesn't mean that they're not going to be healed. Because let me tell you something. Sometimes Jesus healed when people had faith, when their friends had faith, and when people had no faith. There is no common denominator except Jesus. When God heals, he heals. And when he doesn't, you need to trust his plan in the middle of that. But there is healing in the name of Jesus. Number five, at the name of Jesus, demons are subjected. Now, I hope you understand that we believe the Bible. We believe it from the cover all the way through the concordance. We believe that the Scripture is divinely inspired, God-breathed. And what God wants us to know, it's in the Word. And you know what the Bible tells us? That there are entities that are other than godly who have followed the evil one. There are demonic evil forces in the spiritual realm that affect the physical realm and our culture and you individually. You need to know that. You go, "Man, that's mumbo jumbo. That's like ghost hunters." So let me just tell you something. The Scripture is what guides us. And if you're going to believe the Word of God, you're going to believe all of the Word of God, or you are going to choose to tear out this page or that page. Jesus subjected evil spirits. Listen to what Luke 10:17 says. The 72, these are the witnesses that Jesus sent out. He sent them out two by two, and the 72, the Bible says, returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. That is an awesome thing. Listen to Mark 3:11. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before and cried out, "You are the Son of God." Let me stop and tell you this. There is not one evil thing. There is not one evil one. There is not one devil or one demonic force that could ever stand in your way or to thwart what God is trying to do in and through you, because you have power in the name of Jesus. And all you have to do is mention his name. Let me tell you a quick story. Now, you know I have pastored out in Colorado, and we dealt with a lot of people who were oppressed and possessed. Is probably one of the area where we started a church was probably one of the most heavily infiltrated occultic areas in the country. There were witch covens all over the place. But I've got to even go back much further than that and tell you that in my first year of seminary, I had never been exposed much to the demonic, though I believed that it occurred. I'd only read the scriptures. I had never come in contact much with it. And I'll never forget, there was a young man who was, I think he was a first year college student, who came to my office and said, "Pastor, I need for you to pray for me and pray for my mother specifically." I said, well, tell me about what's going on. And he began to tell me his story, that he had gotten saved. And he said every time that he read the Bible, his mother would try to distract him, do everything he could do to distract him from reading the Word. She didn't want him to go to church, didn't want him to read the Word, wanted to do everything to keep him away from talking about Christ, didn't want him to mention the name of Jesus in her presence, didn't want him to have any quiet time alone with God whatsoever. He said sometimes she would stand at the end of my bed with a hammer in her hand and begin to hit her fist and looking at me and telling me things that I had done that were wrong when I was a little kid. He said sometimes she would lay on the floor and just beat the floor in a rhythmic fashion and just laugh in the most hideous way. He said sometimes she would go into an episode, and he said my father, who is very, very strong, and my older brother, who's much stronger than me and along with me, we couldn't hold her down. And sometimes she would speak in strange languages, just babbling. And I began to realize, whoa, whoa, whoa. She happens to be someone who sounds very critical and who is possessed by an evil spirit. Now, I had no idea what to do, except I had a spiritual mentor that God had used in my life that I met through a church camp, and he happened to be speaking in the area, and so I sat down with him, and he had gone through one event after another one in his ministry in California, and I told him what was going on. I said, "I don't know this woman. She hasn't come to me. What do you think God wants me to do?" He said, "You need to start praying. You need to grab a hold of a couple of people and begin to pray and bind that evil spirit in the name of Jesus and ask God for her to be set free." He said, "Kurt, I want you to know right now, you need to be ready for satanic attack in your life." I said, "Okay, what does that mean?" He said, "Those demons will know exactly who's praying for her, and you better get ready because it's going to come at you." He said, "But you need to realize that in the name of Jesus, you are secure." I said, "Okay," and I started to pray and intercede for that woman left and right. And one night, this was before I got married, I was in my little house, and I had just gone to bed, and I'd been praying for that woman. I fell asleep, and a double darkness entered that room. I'll never forget this as long as I'm alive. And I sensed a darkness that was a darkness that I had never sensed with unbelievable force. And it came into my room and over me. And I shook with fear because I had never sensed that. And it was so oppressive, I could feel it. I couldn't even talk. I was like frozen. And all I could say and muster up within me was to call his name. And I cried out, "Jesus." And that spirit of darkness, bang, took off and was never seen again. I want you to know, if you sense oppression in your life, if you sense satanic attack, if you sense bewilderment all you need to do is say his name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've read multiple stories over the years when people begin to call the name of Jesus and they begin to focus on not the patient, but on Christ, that God does amazing things. He does, and you need to believe it. And you don't have to be Pentecostal to believe that. You don't have to be charismatic to believe that. It's okay to be non-denominational, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, or whatever flavor you are. It's all about Jesus. Do you understand that? There's power in the name of Jesus. And you and I need to grab hold of that and understand that. Number six, there's spiritual cleansing and real forgiveness which occurs. And you and I should never take that for granted. Listen to Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. John 3:18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Acts 10:43, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Do you realize that all of your sins are gone because of Christ? For what he's done, you are clean. You're set free. Don't get over that. Many of us, that's what happened. We prayed and asked Jesus to come inside our lives when we were 10, 11, 12. Maybe we were in our 20s or 30s or 40s. And then all of a sudden, we sat down in a church next to somebody who'd been a believer for a long time, and there was no fire in their life. There was no excitement in their life. There was no joy in their life. And you know what? We begin to look at them and go, man, they've been a Christian longer than me. Maybe that's how I need to act. And you start copying them rather than copying Christ. And you got over it. I pray that you never get over Jesus. Don't get over Jesus. Don't take him for granted. Don't take his name for granted, because his name is above every name. Say his name again with me. Jesus. His name is the name by which you and I are cleansed and set free. By his name and his authority, we will leave this planet and go to be with him one day. It's all about Jesus. I got to head on and move on very quickly. You need to listen faster. Number seven, creation happened and is sustained now at the name of Jesus. You think our country holds this planet together? No, it doesn't. You think some economic power holds things together? No, it doesn't. You think a budget controls the future? No, it doesn't. It all comes from Christ. Listen to what the scripture says. John 1:3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You say, well, God may have used this, and he may have used that. He may use the Big Bang, and he may have used evolution. Oh, come on. Who started the explosion if there was a Big Bang? Amen. It was Jesus. However he did it, I don't care. He did it. It all came from him. And listen to this. Colossians 1:16-17. This will pull your socks up. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Now listen to verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The only thing that's going to keep this world together is Jesus. And when he's ready for it to come apart, he'll let it come apart. You don't have to worry about it. It's in his hands, like that old spiritual saying. He's got the whole world in his hands. He does. And in the midst of all kinds of chaos, you need to remember that Jesus holds all things together. There's nothing going to happen that he doesn't decide that's okay to happen. He's the one who has created all things. He's the one who sustains all things. And in him, all things hold together. It's not because I say it with emotion. It says because that's what his word says, and that's where we stand on it. In Christ, it is everything. Christ is all we need. You go, man, that's too simplistic. Yes, it is. You know why God did that? Because you and I try to complicate things. And he just wants us to understand that he is in total charge. Number eight, at the name of Jesus, purpose in life is discovered. You're going to keep looking for purpose in your life until you come to Christ. Listen to 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. It says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist. Your purpose will never be fully comprehended or understood outside the person of Jesus Christ. Your purpose is not to make a living. Your purpose is not just to procreate. Your purpose is not just to be entertained. Your purpose is to be all tied up in what Jesus is trying to do in and through your life for his glory. And until your life, till your resources, until your heart lines up with Christ, you will constantly be trying to find your purpose. There is no purpose that you will ever be fulfilled in your life until it, and that is the it happens to be your heart, your life, and your mind all lined up with Christ. And when your life begins to line up with Christ, regardless of what you do, regardless of what you do for a living, regardless of where you live, and regardless of how much money you have or what kind of influence you have, your life will find its purpose in and through Christ. And that is so important for us to understand. Just two more things. Listen quickly. Number nine, there is spiritual confidence established in the name of Jesus. Listen to this. 1 John 5:13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Let me just tell you, when you turn from your sin and place your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 8 that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's what the Scripture tells us. And it's at the name of Jesus that our security of our salvation is established and confirmed in our hearts and in our lives. It's not about you. It's not about what you've done, what has happened to you, or what you will ever do. You and I don't add anything to our salvation, our security in Christ. It's the finished work of Jesus plus nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. When I first came to this church, I heard more people more focused on judging people left and right about what they were doing and what they weren't doing, and begin to ask me, Pastor, you need to tell them to straighten up and them to straighten up, and you need to preach a sermon about this because good Christians do this and good Christians do that, and bad Christians, they're doing this and that. Let me just tell you something. God is not concerned about you judging each other. He wants you to be in love with his Son, Jesus, because your perfection, your forgiveness, your holiness, your future, your present is all wrapped up and your past is already taken care of because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And our life, our focus, our mentality ought to always be wrapped up in Jesus because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And that's very, very important. And you and I need to be celebrating that left and right. You see, that will give you unbelievable freedom. It'll help you understand what grace is all about. It'll help you give grace to other people. It'll move you away from being a judge and moving you into being a real worshiper and honoring and loving Jesus because you understand that he has made you his, and there's not one thing that you can do that could ever lose that. Now, there's not one thing someone could say to you that could diminish the power of God in your life, because your life is all in Christ, and Jesus will give you the confidence, the spiritual confidence, that you are his child. And that means security for all time. There's one last thing I want to share with you. At the name of Jesus, preeminence is declared. I want you to listen to a couple of scripture verses, and I want you just to look at this. The Bible says, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, the Ha Logos, the concept, the Word. It's speaking of Christ, the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do you understand? Jesus is God. He is co-equal with God the Father. You go, I thought there were three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Yes, but they're one. You go, man, I can't get my mind around that. Good. You're human. Disown that. I can't either. But you know what the Bible says? Jesus is God. He's God. And when you reject Christ, you reject God the Father. That's why there is only one way to know the Father, and that's through the Son, who's one with the Father and is God. Do you understand that? You need to grab hold of that. And if you don't, you go, you ought to be saying, God, help me get my mind close to that. Listen to this, Revelation 22, 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. And let me add, he's also the in-between two. One last verse. John 8:58, and this led to the crucifixion of Jesus by the Pharisees, part of God's plan. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. He was using the divine Greek, Koine Greek prerogative there, this phrase, ego I me. And every Jew understood what he was saying. He was saying, before Abraham was, I am. Remember when Moses was saying, who should I tell Pharaoh who sent me? And God's response was, tell him, I am. You see, this is why the name of Jesus should be on the tip of your tongue, surrounding your heart, around your life, and in who you are. Because you can't have a relationship or know God or find out what life is all about without God, who is Jesus himself. I'll never forget a time years and years ago, and I've shared this with you. I was in a religious denominational colloquial experience in my second pastorate, and there was a Presbyterian pastor, there was a Methodist pastor, there were some Benedictine monks there, there were some non-denominational guys there, some charismatic guys there, and there was me. And one of the guys looked looked directly at me, and he says, you and people in your church, you talk as if Jesus is God. And I looked at him, and with all the sensitivity and tenderness that I could well up, I looked at him and said, under control, Jesus is God! You need to understand that he is King of Kings. He came once to die for you and for me, and he rose from the dead, and he's coming again. I'm going to tell you what his name is. His name is, say it with me, Jesus. Say his name again. Jesus. Say it once again. Jesus. We're in love with Jesus here, and I want you to know him. I want you to serve him. I want you to walk with him. I want you to be so in love with him that your life is all wrapped up and tangled up with Christ. And I pray that if that is not true in your life, it would become true right now in this very moment, whether you're watching online or by television or in this place, whether you're on a campus or somebody's just passed you a computer link to this message. I pray that today you would give your life to Christ. And if that's your desire, why don't you bow your head all over this place, wherever you are right now, just bow your head and cry out this prayer. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I thank you that Jesus died for me on the cross and came alive again. And I want to know him. And I want Jesus for you to forgive me of all my sin and take total charge of my life. I want to be your follower. Thank you for saving me in this moment. In Jesus' name I pray. Maybe you can remember praying a prayer like that years ago, but right now, somehow or another, you've lost the fire, you've lost the desire, you've lost the joy, you've lost that loving feeling. Somehow or another, you've thought going to another church or going to another Bible study or reading another book is going to do it. Let me just tell you something. You need to fall in love with Jesus all again. And maybe your prayer just needs to be right now in the quietness of this moment. Jesus, I want to admit to you I have fallen out of love with you. You're the last one I think of rather than the first one. And I want to tell you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for pushing you to the side and putting my agenda in front. I want to know you. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to experience the power of your resurrection. Lord, I even want you to conform me to the likeness of your death. Lord, I want to know you as I have never known you before. Jesus, I want to stay in love with you because I know my life will never find fulfillment apart from you. Jesus, light my fire again. And Lord, would you just ignite my journey with you right now? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.